All right, guys, we are back with another episode of the Influence Marketing Blueprint. And my guest today is not a guest, is my co-host, co-pilot, Taylor. What's up, my man?
How we doing, my man? Shake and bake.
So heading into BFCM, what was the feelings, the pulse, the thoughts, nerves? Were you the therapist heading into the weekend?
We're all trained therapists here at Kinship.
That's right.
It's what they pay us for. It's more so just to be a soundboard and to talk people off cliffs. There's plenty of that, man. This is something, a lot of this call will be off the spontaneous conversation around these, because we didn't chat about this even prior, but this just came to mind too. I think the biggest concern that was presented by clients was a lot of them, and rightfully so, I believe it's the right thing to do, is they ran their sales that they were going to run for BFCM. Or they ran some sort of sale, right? Whether it's the one they offered on BFCM or not, a majority of November. So it wasn't just like through that weekend, and they ran it for a week or two, 3 weeks, some the entire month of November. And that one of the brands that we were going to talk about today actually did run a BFCM sale throughout the entire month. So I like that because it allows those campaigns to optimize for that sale far in advance of that weekend. But I think the biggest concern people would present was, like, man, what's going to change, you know, on Friday, just, you know, Friday to Monday? Like, we're seeing the way people are purchasing, and, you know, we want more. We want BFCM to be bigger. And so at this clip, it's not up to our projections. And so walking people off that cliff where it's, hey, we're optimizing the sale. You'll see once Friday hits, you're going to see that uptick, you know, regardless of the sale is different or not. What's different is consumers' buying behavior. They're waiting for the best deal possible, and they assume that deal's coming on Friday, that deal's coming on Monday. And you see that play out on Saturday and Sunday. Even though the deal could be exactly the same, there's still drop off on those days, right? So I would say that was probably the biggest concern presented. But it's an easy one to walk people off.
It's so interesting, even like 5 years ago, how different it is. BFCM, like, you have brands starting earlier and earlier, yet still like the human psychology and behavior, even for me or even for you, it was just like waiting for Friday and Monday for those specific deals. It was kind of like, all right, I missed my XYZ brand sale on Friday, at least got Monday coming. But I still never am like looped in, because I always think that there's something bigger, you know. Our BFCM sale started sooner, yet I'm still going to wait for Friday because there could be like this carrot that they're dangling for me.
You don't know, right? I do the same, because some brands do. You know, they have a different sale running up until Black Friday. We offer a great sale, and then on Monday they offer a great sale, and it's different. But a lot of brands just offer the same exact offer for like 2-3 weeks, and there's nothing better. So it's just funny. But yeah, a lot of brands present that concern, like, hey, we want to be able to spend more during the sale. I'm fearful that we're going to spend the same amount through BFCM that we have the last 2 weeks, because nothing's changing. Everything's changing still. Nothing's changed about your offer. Everything's changing about consumer behavior at the end of the day. And you see that in the conversion rates and the amount of spend that's able to get out against cost controls, all the above.
Is there any concern around, I mean, obviously a lot of our clients and people listening are going to no surprise, we're huge fans of cost controls. Was there any concerns like coming up, just because there's so much noise, there's so much people in their ear, Twitter, LinkedIn, whatever it is. And now this is the weekend of the weekend, you know, this is the Super Bowl of their brand for a lot of clients. And there's still like a doubt in the back of their mind, like to your point of what you just said of, am I going to be able to double ad spend over the weekend if the opportunity is there?
Yeah. Well, and cost controls, how tactical and in the weeds do we want to get? You know me, bro, so you're going to have to keep me out of the rabbit hole here. But tactically speaking, for sure, that's a huge concern, right? People are, they're saying exactly kind of what we just reviewed. Hey, the offer is the exact same. I'm fearful that spend's not going to, you know, increase against cost controls. And just for all the listeners, we set cost controls against inflated budgets. So when the moment hits, we can really take advantage of that moment. Hey, the spend will be throttled down when it's not there, and it will really throttle on an inflated budget when it is there.
And so for BFCM people listening, that's not the 50 purchases per week. That's way more.
Way more than that. Yeah. But it only throttled that spend when there's a moment to throttle. And that BFCM is definitely one of those moments. So going into the weekend, right, you're going to have, like, for the brands that only offer it, you know, that sale or that discount into the weekend for BFCM, you would think if you have a discount, right, your contribution margin changes, right? Your AOV, say you have a 20% discount, your AOV is going to decrease, which would lend itself to a smaller contribution margin, sure, right, at the back end of that. And so logically, you would think, I'm going to decrease cost controls to match that proportionately, right? But on our end, we do not lower them on that Friday, for example, if that sale was to start. We don't want to tell the system, hey, throttle down spend and adjust for this, because we're assuming conversion rates are about to basically double, right? Mm-hmm. And so going into the weekend, we want spend to throttle. So we're going to keep cost controls exactly the same. And we're anticipating conversion rate doubling, which would allow our cost controls to be set at a good spot and CPAs to actually come in far below that cost control that's being achieved. So we're going into the weekend with that mindset. Hey, we're going to keep cost controls where they're at. So if spend really throttles, and when that conversion rate doubles, I mean, that's how, you know, the cost controls work. It's taking that into consideration and in how they're bidding and then throttling spend once they see, hey, conversion rates are doubling, performance is skyrocketing, let's go spend more. And then everyone got to see how cost controls work within a peak moment on inflated budgets. It really takes advantage of that moment as much as they possibly can.
Well, I know for people listening, it's kind of starting to become, I mean, it already is. They're already focused on Christmas, the shipping deadlines, as people are listening to this. Probably by the time they actually tune into this, it's hitting that deadline. What's most relevant is Q1, but I do want to touch on and put a like final stamp on BFCM, like maybe some highlights around a couple particular brands. We won't name names, but why don't we start with a omni-channel worldwide betting brand. Let's start with that one.
Yeah. I mean, this one can just show you the true power of just BFCM and just the month of November for a store. In October, well, the currency might narrow it down a little bit more there, but in October, you know, they spent 172,000 euros out of 1.51. And then in November, they spent 623,000 euros at a 1.73. So just really showing, I mean, that's improved performance while basically quadrupling the spend month over month. And there's something just to be said there about our ability to buy biasly. But it just shows you the power of November as well. And that's all on cost controls as well. So again, it just shows you, yeah, this moment is huge for them. It's something also to be said too on this. Well, one biggest point here is, hey, you can really scale ad spend on cost controls effectively, where performance not only can maintain, but it increased in the scenario while spend practically quadrupled with the entire account on cost control. So just want to debunk that myth of, oh, I'm not going to be able to take advantage of the moment and scale spend. Yes, you can. If you have everything dialed in the way that you should with creative, with offers, with campaign structure, you will scale against cost controls efficiently. So and that's definitely one.
Well, the one thing that I do want to make note too is the creative lift, the volume that doubled pretty much month over month. From they had 802 assets, and then we doubled that to over 1500.
Yeah, that definitely helps.
So we're going to talk about that. That's as a teaser, but just the volume, the importance of volume, we're going to talk about that, even how Facebook talks about that. But let's go to another one.
Well, just on that point, like, nothing allows our team to scale an ad account more than having additional creative at our disposal, right? Every single piece of creative is an added opportunity to spend profitably,
right,
against cost controls. So double the creative, double the probability of scaling ad spend, quite honestly. I would confidently say that. Another thing to touch on this brand specifically, and just with all brands, we went nitty gritty already with how we're thinking about cost controls going into the weekend. Yeah. Cost controls heading out of the weekend. You know, how should we think about cost controls heading out of the weekend? Once again, Facebook and the way that cost controls work, they are going to spend against that cost control if it is confident it can achieve the level of performance that you're after, right? So Black Friday through Monday, you're achieving an unparalleled level of performance that you have in comparison to probably the rest of the year. You know, your conversion rates are doubled, your CPAs are extremely low at very high spend volume. So going into Tuesday, maybe one day Meta in all their glory and sophistication of being the, you know, smartest machine learning system in the world, one day they'll be able to take in consideration year over year performance drop off from that Monday to Tuesday. But they are going into Tuesday on cost controls thinking that same low performance that's been achieved the last 4 days, Friday through Monday, is going to be achieved on Tuesday. So what does that mean? That means if you keep cost controls where they're at, they're taking all of that information that they've consumed over the last 4 days and applying it to the way that they're spending against those cost controls on Tuesday. So if you kept cost controls at the same level that you had them on Monday, you're going to see a ton of over delivery while underperforming on those ads. So your CPAs could ultimately double, triple while throttling spend through the roof. And ultimately, you know, your cost control campaigns would adjust. It would take 24 to 48 hours to peel everything back. All this to say, following a sale, following a moment where you know conversion rate's going to drop off and performance will fall, which is after any and all sales, you should pull down cost controls by a minimum of 25% across the board. And it allows yourself to offset that moment negative impacting your brand. So that's something also to say, we want nitty gritty on the front end of the sale. This is how I would respond on the back end of the sale with cost controls before heading into this next brand example.
Yeah. I mean, that's even some of the media buyer pushback that sometimes I hear is usually you have to set a higher daily budget with cost caps. And this is going down a rabbit hole, but I do want to just make this point. Because Facebook tends to underspend. If Facebook decided to spend the whole budget, you could accidentally overspend a ton if you aren't paying enough attention every day. And it's just, well, that's the whole point, is that you need to be paying attention every day on the cost controls to be able to adjust to those things. I mean, that's your role as the media buyer. It's at least because we are flipping that normal way of viewing the ad account very differently, where we're looking at the performance, not just the spend. Where if you have a daily budget, it's that's the constant going out every single day to your forecast, and performance goes up and down. But we're adjusting based on that performance, right? So that's some of the media buying pushback that we often hear. Today's Power Minute is brought to you by Social Snowball, an affiliate platform for e-com that is focused on enabling affiliate partnerships for what I like to call the modern affiliate. So not the traditional affiliates, publishers, blogs, etc. This is the modern affiliate, such as creators, ambassadors, influencers, customers, etc. So there's many things I love about Social Snowball. One of the first things that comes to mind is they eliminate all code leaks. So if your codes that have gone out to influencers or affiliates have ended up on coupon sites, Social Snowball would eliminate this. Also, it's very important to have a tiered-based system to motivate your affiliates to continue to post and generate revenue for you. So they make that super seamless. Make it super easy on the affiliate to get paid out any which way that they like. So Venmo, PayPal, directly to their bank, on a Visa gift card, Amazon gift card, all that, etc. If you guys haven't checked them out, they're on the Shopify App Store. Go check them out today. You're missing out. They are clearly the best and our number one recommendation for affiliate marketing. Let's transition. Well, do you want to highlight one more brand?
Yeah. Another brand would be a clean supply company where, Black Friday, Cyber Monday was great for them. I think on average, I can just pull this up. I think on average, they were spending about, 20,000 on target per day, which was pretty in line with the rest of the month, quite honestly. And I wouldn't say, and this is something to say as well, like efficiency improved. They spent about the same. They just took the efficiency on those days. I think they expected to do all maybe a little bit more, but this is a clean supply brand. I wouldn't necessarily say it's, you know, this huge gifting, you know, opportunity. A lot of these brands that are very much so for gifting, that's where you see this moment just absolutely crush. In this moment, though, for other brands like a clean supply company, you see efficiency gains, you see performance improve for sure. But overall, this isn't like a particularly massive moment for their brand. Did they do really well? 100%. The thing that's interesting here is December 1 through 10, though, following BFCM, they've spent 460,000 pounds below target, and it's at an 18 pound CPA. And last year, year over year, December 1 through 10, 2022, they spent 25,000 pounds. So that's like, it's like a 1600% increase. And I just say this to say, hey, cost controls, the beautiful thing about cost controls is it allows you to, well, it allows the machine, quite honestly, to identify when these moments will happen. And so honestly, I would have thought that during BFCM, that's where that would have scaled, right? And we were spending like, you know, 20 to 30,000 pounds per day through that period, which is really good for the brand. But now over the last 10 days, we're spending 46,000 pounds per day. And so once again, I go back to cost controls with inflated budgets. This allows the machine of Facebook, if you set it up in this way, to decide when to throttle spend. When is it most advantageous for your brand with the current circumstances in the marketplace, with where CPMs are at, with where what competitors are doing, with all the variables at play here that we have set up? When is the most advantageous time to throttle spend at performance? I would have guessed it would have been BFCM, and it was a great BFCM for them. I want to make that clear. But December 1 through 10, spending 46,000 pounds a day at performance, it is throttling right now.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have guessed that at the end of the day, but cost controls allow for that.
Is your e-commerce still stuck despite doing everything right? You've nailed your product market fit, your customers love you, and yet pushing past this next big milestone still feels like rolling a boulder uphill. You are not the only one. Most e-commerce brands get stuck, but that doesn't mean you have to stay stuck. And over the years, we've developed a three-pillar system, the Kinship system, that's helped dozens of brands smash that next $10 million barrier, whether that's going from 0 to 10 or 10 to 20, and so on and so forth, and continue to scale without sacrificing profitability. It's been stress tested across various industries, including fashion, beauty, food, and more. And now you can get the full step-by-step breakdown at kinship.co/free. That's kinship.co/free. No fluff, just a real strategy that works. Once again, sign up for our free masterclass at kinship.co/free. All right, back to the show.
This is one of the funnest things that I feel like on the sales cycle, talking to people on the front end, where the importance of cost controls, not only because you're forcing spend into inefficiency, like on the days where, like if you have the daily budget, right? $200 a day, whatever the number is, and it's just going out regardless, like on a Wednesday where there's not as many purchases, you're forcing spend in that moment. But the unlock for them is really the untapped potential that you're actually capping yourself for. Especially, this is especially true for the bigger spenders, like for people that are spending 6-7 figures a month. You're capping your own growth because of
100%.
Your daily budget. Like you're literally missing out opportunity because you're actually capping it at the 20K a day or the 30K a day. When it could throttle to exactly your point, you know, like imagine if this brand had a daily budget of like, oh, December is going to be a slight increase on November based on past historical data. And we're just going to forecast, you know, black magic. I'm just going to make this up based on past historical data. I do my best guesstimate on what the next month is going to be forecast at. This is my spend. That's my budget daily. You just missed out on massive opportunity which is for sure such a fun way to think about it, as opposed to the reverse.
100%. And yeah, I mean, next, there's a balance to it for inventory purposes as well, just to be able to forecast the inventory as much as it can. But like the learnings here for next year during this time period, like I want to run a sale during this period. Like there's obviously something about this window that is this optimal timing for this brand. And we need to dissect that, analyze it, and try to, you know, do our best based on what, you know, this moment is communicating to us worth spend is just doubling on cost controls in comparison to BFCM. Like, let's run a sale on this next year because it's obviously a peak moment to be had. And that's how you can identify peak moments for your brand, by the way. Hey, on cost controls, where is spend throttling at target performance? Hey, we should turn those into a peak moment by throwing, you know, turning into a moment for our brand, whether that's through a sale or a unique offer or whatever it may be. But that's what we would love to do next year during this moment for this brand in particular, because they're just crushing.
So let's segue this into Q1. What are you hearing just across the board outside of this particular brand heading into next year? Obviously, they're heads down right now. Again, I've mentioned this several times about the shipping deadline, trying to take advantage of the gifting moment. But once past that, then it goes into, you know, maybe that dead period, so to speak, between Christmas and New Year's. That can be for some brands. It's heavily discount, big sales. Get rid of old inventory, things like that. But across the board, just from a macro level, like what are you hearing from our clients heading into 2024?
Well, the demographic of brands that we predominantly work with is within that health and wellness space. And so through November, BFCM, as well as December, which is heavily gifted, gifting purchases for consumers, right? Which products are good to gift people for the holiday season. Health and wellness brands in particular, I wouldn't say are ones that would perform, like you think about, you know, supplements to put into, you know, drinks, coffee or something, or whatever it is, or, you know, gummies. These products within the health and wellness space aren't necessarily something like, Cody, I got this for you for Christmas. I thought of you. You know, it's like, they're not, they could be like stocking stuffers, I guess, some of them, but all this to say, like CPMs are rising during this time significantly because everyone's trying to take advantage of this moment in Q4 for gifting, where consumer behavior is, you know, through the roof to buy, buy, buy. But health and wellness brands, yes, they will reap, but it's not like this insane moment for them where they're completely dependent on Q4, like a lot of brands, to make their business. That month for them comes, I would recommend, they think it comes Jan 1, I would say a lot of them, like in that new year, new me month, everyone's setting new goals for themselves in health and wellness and fitness. And I'm going to go work out for the rest of my life and they last a week. I'll speak life into everyone though. I believe in you. But I would say the best day to start, and this is the conversations we're having with our brands for like the brands that look to January as a month that they'll crush it within, which is all health and wellness is, that day starts on Christmas. Christmas Day, CPMs are so low. You have competition is throttling. And
everybody's on their phone too.
Everyone's on their phone.
Yeah.
CPMs are way back. Everyone's on their phone. You're going to have little to no competition to get your CPMs very cheap. I would drive a day of sale that day to kick things off. One day sale, make it really urgent. Buy, buy, buy now. CPMs are really low. Take advantage of that day. Run a sale from the 26th to the 31st. Separate sale. Take advantage of that week. Low CPMs throughout that whole week. People are still throttling down, enjoying their Christmas while you're just raking up cash. New Year's Day. Urgent sale that day as well. Day of sale, New Year's Day. People are on their phone, out and about, not working. And then a week of sale the first week. And then cruise on that through the rest of January. But those 2 weeks are to be taken advantage of for health and wellness brands. And again, those are the conversations we're having with a lot of the clients that we have, since that's a space we predominantly work with. Hey, CPMs were super competitive through November, December. We did really well. but we can really take advantage of the moment. Last week of December, first week of January, where everyone else is throttling back and, you know, we can start scaling again.
Yeah.
Today's Power Minute is brought to you by Mighty Scout, an influencer tracking tool. So you've probably heard Taylor and I talk about Mighty Scout at length in past episodes, but today we want to take special time to speak to it specifically. So if you are investing in any sort of influencer marketing to a degree, I highly suggest getting on Mighty Scout. First of all, it's going to track all of your organic posting that goes out. So if you're doing seeding, pay for posts, you can drop in all your influencers by campaign. And then once those influencers are in those campaigns, they're going to immediately start being tracked if and when they mention you by handle or any hashtags that you give it. So it's going to give and pull all that content, most importantly, so that you can know who posted, you can reach out for content rights, etc. Also, it's going to give you all the reporting and ROI on those things as far as metrics wise. So you're going to be able to know the vanity metrics that go out around those influencer posts. You're going to know everything that it goes into around influencer marketing in regards to Mighty Scout. So if you haven't checked them out, highly, highly suggest them. Go to mightyscout.com to find out more.
And one of the things that, I mean, going back to the creative, the brand that we mentioned, that creative volume doubled. I just wanted to touch on this a couple times too, because oftentimes people are coming with a bottleneck of creative. That is a major pain point still. Just the upkeep to be able to launch ads, go through a creative life cycle. And what times, most of the time people are coming and they're basically, they have sort of a sunk cost fallacy when they're launching ad creative is, I've invested all this time, resources, money into these 10 assets, right? So I need to launch them. I want to launch them. I don't want to launch anything else. So there's uniquely...
And go spend all this money behind it.
Yeah, and then they spend even more money on it because of that sunk cost. So one of the things that, obviously we're very close with Facebook, one of the things that Meta will tell you is that you need a variety of content. So multi-asset, multi-placement use. So a lot of times like people are coming to us. And I think this is important, especially regardless of whether you work with us as an agency or just heading into next year, is people see product on white background. They see it as like, this is the winning ad. And then they make subtle iterations off of that core concept. So black background, white background, blue background, tweaked off for a bit, changed a little bit of the copy. It's well-intentioned, but I would say it's incorrect because the big problem is like Meta sees that ad as the same ad. Not only like in the way for it barely looks any different, but it sees to the human eye, but also to the ad auction. So one of the things that seeding does, not to be a subtle plug here, but it gives a variety of different content, multi-different placements, unboxings, images, video, tutorials, a variety of different content, because we're not giving them cookie cutter creative briefs. So that's one of the advantages of seeding on the volume play, but also on the variety play, because you're getting, so you need volume, variety, but you also need to keep the cost down, which for a lot of people listening, we would definitely be big proponents of seeding, whether you work with us or do it internally, is it's one of the most cost-effective ways to get volume and variety, which is both, basically this is coming from Facebook itself, is you need this, you're going to end up in creative fatigue, which is what you guys are ending up doing because you're seeing a winning ad and you're making subtle iterations off of that same ad. So winning image, variety of different images with AI, this is incredibly easy. But just because it's easy doesn't mean it's the best outcome for the ad auction. So the TLDR is that seeding lends itself to volume and variety and it keeps costs down. And then it's a great way to launch all this creative. When, you know, you talked on this specific ad account that had went from 805 to 1502, what unlocks spend, which is the main thing that we're solving for within that account because of cost controls. Performance stays constant. The spend is the thing that goes up and down, and we want it to because we want the spend to respond to the available auction. We want that spend to be able to unlock with variety of creative. And it's really, it's pure math, right? for everybody listening, it's just you're giving Facebook more opportunities, more at bats to find winners. If I have 100 ads, Taylor has 10. I'm at a 10 times more advantage to find opportunities to scale, not only spend, but scale against a performance in a target. So I wanted to make that point because heading into Q1 of next year, and also just 2024, you need to have a creative flywheel in some form or fashion. This is another thing that Meta will tell you. So don't take it from us. Just take it from Meta, the mothership. They're going to tell you. They recommend at least 2 creative refreshes a month. So take everything that I just said. You also need to be updating your campaigns with new creative every 2 weeks. Man, do you need a flywheel? Do you need a pipeline of creative to be able to launch that? You need the resources, bandwidth to be able to upload that. Add into the fact that, you know, there's a variety of brands that I get on the phone with that they're just sitting on a ton of content just because of the labor involved of getting all this live. Because I think when you hear, hey, we doubled creative volume and we launched it all, it sounds simple. Everybody, it is not to get all this content live into that account. So a little bit of a ramble on my end, but obviously very passionate for us is getting that creative volume variety.
It's so true. And it only takes one. It only takes one. But don't take that and then say, okay, we only need 10. No. Like,
you only need one asset to scale an ad account, you're saying.
Right. And, you know, like what Cody's saying, though, if you have 100 assets instead of 10, you have 10x the probability of finding that one. And, right. You know, on how cost controls work, right? It's only going to spend money where the next best dollar is spent. So even though you're throwing 100 pieces of creative there, it's only going to spend money behind the piece of creative that is most advantageous to put in front of that end viewer that's looking to buy, that's most cost effective from a CPA perspective. So you'll see, if you run 10 ads on a highest volume campaign, you'll see a lot more spend gets behind all 10 ads than, you know, if you launch 100 ads on cost controls, you'll see a lot of the spend go to the top 2 or 3 ads at the end of the day. So it's a much more effective way. And just like just the other day, over the weekend, we launched new creative in one of these ad accounts. Breakthrough. We found one, tripled ad spend day to day, and we've gotten a breakthrough. And now we're going to go iterate on that. And so, yeah, seeding lends itself to a variety and diversity and a ton. But then it allows you to find, okay, what about these ads make them top performers? Let's go make more of that. But you should have them, those two ways of thought constantly going, hey, seeding is a great way to get diversity and new, genuine, raw creative into the ad account every single month, that flywheel pumping. And then based on top performers month in and month out, let's go get more of that specifically too.
And holding it loosely too, because just because it's working now doesn't mean it's going to work tomorrow. It's like as you go make changes and go, you know, get more of that UGC scripted, whatever the case is, it could be working. But that's also the beauty of cost controls is like leave that sucker on. It could be a best performer next month. It might not be now.
For sure.
Man, we couldn't help ourselves, guys. We went deep into the cost controls. But I think it's effective and it's effective, but it's important. We can't not talk about it in terms of, especially with the volume of content that we have unique advantage of getting on behalf of our clients. You have to have that in combination of all these assets that you're launching.
For sure.
All right, everybody. Well, we're here for you as always. If you have any questions, want to work with us as an agency, want to reach out, need an ad account audit, anything like that, we're just here for you. We're trying to be a resource heading into next year. I will say it will be an interesting year heading into a political election. So Q4 next year could be very different with all the political money heading into the metasphere.
CPMs will rise.
That is for sure. So who knows, but we're a long way from there. Let's just enjoy each other for right now. Happy holidays, everybody, and we'll see you next time.